Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our continuous coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Also, a little bit of sports talk. Mike Dettelia along with Coleman in studio. And we're going to go straight to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. President of Lafourche Parish, Archie Chasson. Archie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I thought you had stiffed me. I was going to go talk to that dormant volcano behind my house because I know that's about the only thing you haven't caught since you've been in office.
Mike, glad to be on. I'm finally glad that I get to talk to somebody who can pronounce my last name right. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh, come on, man. Well, I get it. But, Arch, I heard you last night, kind of your last address to the people in Lafourche Parish before you got some rest, that about 75% of the parish was without electricity. And so tell us kind of how that has shaken out throughout the day-to-day, because I think you get a better deal. I remember in having to deal with some of that myself in other lines of work. They have a better line of it after the assessing it in the morning and after 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so, Mike, they're wrapping up their damage assessments now. I just talked to the energy rep who's embedded with us in the EOC. We're hopeful in about the next hour we get the results of that report. But I will tell you, driving, you know, I've been down the bayou, been up the bayou, been back and forth to Houma once today to meet with the governor and some of his staff. There's not a whole lot of poles down. There's a few that are lean. I don't see a lot of buckled wire. So I'm very hopeful that this is going to be a much more rapid turn on than what we're thinking. Now, it'll probably be another day or two, right? But we're not going to be well into next week before the power comes on. I'm very hopeful that once we get some of the issues fixed at the substation in Labadeville, North Lafourche starts to power up, get a couple of issues lined up at the Valentine substation, going to power up most of, you know, where we are in Lockport headed south. But one thing I really find interesting about all of this is that Fouchon and Grand Isle have never lost power.
And that's, I think, unreal.
The resiliency efforts that energy. And look, you know, I was joking this afternoon with Mayor Carmadale. He's been watching Netflix all day because they even have internet service. So, you know, it's very weird to see that, because typically they're the first to lose power and the last to get it back. So, you know, I think it speaks to the resiliency efforts of FEMA. And again, kind of why I'm thinking that the click on of this is going to be much quicker than a lot of people were thinking.
Archie, I was telling them here on my drive from Matthews to get to the station, I did not see one power line down. Now, I saw a couple of them leaning, and really more toward in the Zalman's area than, say, in the Matthews area that I passed through. And so, man, that's a big quick hit, because in the past, man, and we've had them for so many years, you pass on 308, every one of those telephone poles, if they weren't down, they were leaning heavily.
Yeah, I think the issues we're going to see is a few leaning poles, the cross ties that actually hold the wire up, and the little kind of circular mechanisms that are on top that actually hold the wire and are the conductors as it spans. I think that's going to be more of the issue. And once they can throw those cross ties up, you know, when I came back from Houma today, Mike, you know, around where Highway 90 is under the Tourist Commission Bridge, around where the old Winn-Dixie was, there's a ton of energy trucks spread out. There's a bunch of them in the front of our office at the Matthews Government Complex, and there's a bunch of them that were headed south down to the old Briscoe helicopter site. So, again, they got, you know, probably 50 or 60 bucket trucks that are roaming around Lafourche Parish right now waiting for those damage assessments to come across so that they can begin that repair work. And, look, the winds are died down. I know these guys, the linemen, are awesome. They come in from both out of state and the energy ones themselves. Those guys are going to work late into the night tonight, because we still have – you know, we could be probably another two or three and a half hours of daylight left. So if we're just mangling cross ties, you know, strapping some poles back, again, I think this is going to go much quicker than people are thinking.
Archie, a couple of days ago we were talking about this, and you asked me about vulnerable areas. Wind-wise, I had a feeling we could could take that shot. But we've also been involved with storms that all of a sudden blow up as they get closer to the coast right before they hit. And that's just part of the world we live in today. But the vulnerable areas being Chack Bay, some areas in Thibodaux. And I remember, and I can't think of the exact either street or place in La Rose. I think maybe they were doing some levee work there, and they had some overflow for Ida. But I do know about what happened, so to speak, in the Thibodaux area, where they got over 8 inches of rain. And kind of like what we did in Matthews, we got like maybe 6.5 to 7. They got over 8 in an hour and 45 minutes. There's no pump in this world that can pump that out. And there's some vulnerable spots also in Chack Bay. Was any other area hit with water that was excessive?
No, you know, Mark, Mike, the area that you talk about down the bay was around the Cloverly Farms area,
yes,
a little bit
yes.
of that overtopping around that. But that was just, you know, we had 12 foot of storm surge in that particular spot after the hurricane. That levee was right in 12 or 13 feet there. The area that I thought we were going to have some issues with were like Lower Bayou Blue, the Eagle Island, the backside of the prairie, when those winds wrapped around, and I thought that surge would kind of come up. And the thing you have to remember is last week we got around 13 inches of rain over 3 days. So when you think about those 13 inches, when you think about, you know, the rain we saw last night, we're looking at over 20 inches of rain in a matter of about a week. So the outfall canals, the 40 Arpa Canal, the 80 Arpa Canal, a lot of that was already swelled and is influenced in those two areas around Thibodaux by tides, either into Lake Des Almonds or into Lake Fields in the back of where we are, Matthews and Lockport. So the water really had nowhere to go. A lot of Thibodaux is a gravity drainage system. We have some pumps on the west side of town, up around the old Layton Sugar Mill. But when you think about the backside of the Rienzi going into Sugar Ridge and the Sugar Ridge West on the bottom side, there's not really a whole lot of pumping capacity there. So, you know, you combine the swelled outfalls, the tide coming in last night, and 8 inches of rain in an hour and a half, it was a recipe for disaster, right? And I think, you know, as you saw that system move out of Terrebonne over into Thibodaux, it slowed down a good bit. But then as it began to move more of a southeast motion. So it kept that training effect over North Raceland into Thibodaux, and then eventually made its way through the river parishes and into Jefferson Orleans. And I've talked to President Jewell, I've talked to President Lee Shang, I've talked to President Hotard, and they all said the same thing. And we were all calling each other about midnight, 1 a.m., going, hey, is this ever going to stop? Why is it not moving? You know, we're seeing these water levels rise. It was a bit rough for a while. I think we're going to end up somewhere with about 60 homes that took on some sort of water, probably about 30 within the city limits of Thibodaux, 30 without. But then now our focus is starting to look at the Shupik, Kramer, Chack Bay, Bayou Buff area. All that water that went north into Ascension and St. James and Donaldsonville has now got to come through us to get out through Lake Des Almonds and down to the Gulf. So, you know, over the course of today, that water was coming up with high tide. And then over the course of probably the next 2 or 3 days, we're going to see that backwater pressure rise. And we're going to have to do some stuff there along with the North Hoosh Levee District.
Archie, I think all these storms have a different outlet. You know, they got the A personality. And I'm going to do what I want when I want. And we saw it yesterday. You've been parish president for a while, and then you work with Miss Charlotte for many, many years. But this is about as strange as you could see of how it hit, you know, in the Dulage area and then came across Terrebonne into Lafourche and then made all these little kind of moves to the east, then north, then kind of a cut across. This one, man, once it hit, anybody that said they knew exactly where it was going, they kidding you. There ain't no way in the world you could have drawn this up on a map.
No, I mean, it literally looked like Jesus took an Etch-a-Sketch last night and figured out where the path of this thing was going. Like, it was a very weird storm. You know, we knew we'd see that windshield wiper effect, and it would jog east or west a little bit here or there. But it jogged east 20 miles, jogged east, you know, another 50 miles, then went west 110. Like, it was just, it set up very weird. And when you look at now the official track that the Hurricane Center has laid out, it literally looks like an Etch-a-Sketch pad. And it, you know, these things are, you know, Ida was a little bit weird for us. We talk about things like intense acceleration of these storms and how fast they're becoming strength and going into Category 3 and Category 4 storms. You know, we talk about the way steering currents work. But this thing was just out the box. I don't know if it was a full moon last night too, or whatever happened, but it was a weird one, and not something that I think we want to see again. I would rather take a straight track and see a wobble here and there than have to deal with something like that shifted a tremendous amount over the course of about 12 hours.
Is there anything in the area road-wise closed? I know on 308 leading from the overpass into Raceland, I think that highway is closed, correct, on 308?
So we had a little bit of water on 308 around Lafourche Crossing, but I think as the bayou dropped, that kind of dropped.
Yeah.
I don't know of any particular road closures that are still out there. I think all the arteries are really moving around. Chet and his team over at the Port Commission got LA1 down to the port opened up, I think 9:30 or 10 o'clock this morning, and they've been moving traffic down there. So I think for the most part, everything is open and moving smooth.
Anything you want to tell the residents of Lafourche Parish? And, you know, I know the last 72 hours have been difficult on everybody, but they've done such a great job of clearing the streets. They don't have, you know, in the past we used to have trees on the street, but now it was a branch storm. They had a lot of branches out there, not so much tree-wise, about especially service for electricity, because that's the big question you're going to get asked all across the board.
Oh, look, Mike, I can show you my phone right now with, you know, a bunch of unopened text messages and Facebook messages and people tagging in posts. That's the number one question after a storm, right? Everybody wants to know when power's coming back on, especially if you don't have access to a generator or something like that. So, again, I think we're going to, in the next hour or so, we're going to get that damage assessment report. They're telling us no less than 7 p.m., so once we can sit down with that energy rep, once he gets that report and we get some type of kind of semi-homing in focus on what we think restoration times are going to be, just pay attention to our website and our Facebook page. We're going to push that information out as quickly as we can. And, again, you're right, it was more of a branch storm, Mike. I think Ida really whacked the parish when it came through 3 years ago and really thinned the tree population. I think as far as debris operations go, we're going to see a heavier debris presence in North Lafourche because they didn't get the winds Ida saw. And then as we start to deal with some of these flooded homes and they begin to take out flooring and carpet and parts of their walls, those debris piles are gonna grow in North Lafourche. South Lafourche handled this thing like a champ really well, not a whole lot of issues driving around last night once the winds died down. So, again, we just want to remind people to be patient. No curfew tonight. I think the city of Thibodaux is going to have a curfew from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. because they're dealing with some specific issues with some flooding and stuff that happened up there. So Mayor Claymore is going to keep that curfew in place for the city of Thibodaux tonight. But other than that, just remember those generator safety tips. If you're running a generator, remember to refuel it when it's cool. Let it calm down. If you have a home standby generator, remember to shut that thing off and service it like you're supposed to every 48 hours or so. Make sure your carbon monoxide and smoke detectors are working. We had zero fatalities, zero injuries during this whole event, Mike, and I don't want to see us lose a resident because of it. But you're right, Mike, you know it just as well as I do because we both live here. We live in a very awesome community with a whole lot of darn great people who are going to rally around their neighbors, help clean up. And I think by Monday, if power comes back on, you're going to see us kind of going back to business as usual.
Archie, one last question before I let you go. What was the highest on the storm surge in the Golden Met area? Did that get to like 6 or 6.5 feet? Because, man, it's shocking. It would happen on the entry in Terrebonne that it got over 10 foot on a storm surge. Archie, my lifetime, that hadn't happened no more than twice.
Yeah, you know, you think back to Ida, Mike, in the bottom end of Golden Meadow when you come with the floodgates, we had a 16-foot storm surge there for Ida. It got to about 6 or 7 feet. We can gauge that by the new floodgate on Grand Bayou. That's between Lafourche, between Cutoff and Pointe-Aux-Chenes, between Lafourche and Terrebonne. So that held back about a 6-foot storm surge. And I was seeing some pictures when I was at Terrebonne's OEP with the governor today from President Bergeron, where they actually had an 11-foot storm gate on the western end of Terrebonne that had water coming over it.
Whoa.
So they got every bit of that 10 or 11-foot storm surge. So they were really lucky, again, set up on a right angle. A lot of the work that has been done on Morganza, the Gulf, with the Terrebonne Levee District and CPRA, now a little bit of federal funding. And look, Mike, if we didn't have South Lafourche years ago and the great work that we're doing in North Lafourche right now with their Levee District, you know, it could have been a much different event. You know, we make that argument to FEMA all the time, and we did it with the FEMA administrator again today when we talk about things like risk rating 2.0 and flood insurance. You know, we spent $1 billion locally trying to protect ourselves, and we get zero credit for that. And we've taken two horrible storms of the last 3 years, and for the most part, outside of, you know, some rainwater pockets, nobody has flooded due to coastal storm surge. And we got to be able to get credit for that to be able to drive down some of these flood insurance rates and eventually some of the homeowner rates. And that's what we're going to continue to push for post-storm.
Amen to that. Thank you, Archie. Appreciate your time and all your efforts. And you do a fabulous job, my man. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, Mike.
All righty. Archie Chasson, president of Lafourche Parish. When we come back, we'll have on with us a little bit of sports talk. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer here on WWL, will talk to us a little bit about the Saints as they prepare to take on, as Bobby would say, the Cowgirls this coming Sunday. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back with more coverage of the aftermath of Francine and some sports talk right after this break.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here, our continuous coverage of the aftermath of Francine and some sports talk, and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, our Saints sideline reporter, also digital content coordinator, supervisor, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad I can cut into the Francine with the impertinent sports information. That's that's what we're here to do, right?
You made out okay in the storm?
Yeah. I mean, we lost power for, I don't know, 12 hours. I think it went out around 11 last night. Came back just before I left to the facility today, which was nice, because that meant I knew that I was coming home to power. We've been through these things before, right? It's loud, it's windy, it's a lot of water, but we're pretty good at it at this point.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, seeing the injury report, I think the one thing everybody is always alarmed about, when you got the bad lumbago, and like Taliase Fuaka got right now. Now, it could be, you know, your back's starting to act up on you. Sometimes change in temperature and maybe you move a little bit of wrong way, it started to act up. And so he did not practice today. Is there a major concern about Fuaka with the back? Because we've seen this in the training camp period, preseason, and now him show up on the injury list today with his back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think any time you start the week of practice and you're limited and then you end up being a DNP the next day or Friday, that's going to be a concern, because it's a sign that you're not improving. You know, you'd like it to go the other way. You'd like a guy to maybe be out Wednesday and then come back in a limited capacity on Thursday. That's what happened for Tyrann Mathieu, Lucas Patrick today. So, that's a concern, and it's not the first time this offseason we've seen Taliese deal with this year that we've seen this Taliese deal with back stuff. He missed the second preseason game with a back issue. Now, I don't know if it's the exact same thing, but anytime you have kind of recurring back problems, that's just, you know, it's the type of thing that it lingers. It's annoying. We'll see. I'm hopeful that he can get out there, but, you know, it's when you're talking about a guy going into his second career game, it becomes a little bit more of a hurdle, where it's like, hey, if you have Eric McCoy and he's not able to practice on Wednesday or Thursday, you trust that he can go out there and execute without much difficulty, even without that missed practice time. I don't know if that's the same thing for a rookie. You know, I don't know if that's the same thing for a guy going into his second career game. So missed practice time, I think, for him might be a little bit more significant. So it's definitely going to be something we have to watch. And right now, I'm not sure who that left tackle would even be. Probably Landon Young. He's the guy who seems like he's right there. Ole Udo seems like your backup right tackle. But then that kind of throws into flux, okay, where's the rest of your offensive line? Nick Saldivari did practice in full today. We'll see if he's ready, if they feel like he's ready. He missed a lot of time, too. Last week when Lucas Patrick went out at halftime with a toe injury, it was Landon who filled in. And the reasoning was Nick Saldivari is just not quite ready. He was kind of the emergency 8th offensive lineman on game day, and they went with Landon. Well, if Landon's just starting left tackle, and Lucas, you know, we'll have to wait and see. He was limited today. Who ends up being at left guard? But yeah, this is not the week that, you know, you would have hoped to have to see some of these issues with an offensive line group that you went into week one with serious questions about. I think they played really well under those circumstances, but now you're really stepping up that challenge going against Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence's Dallas Cowboys scheme, and you now have real questions on the left side of that line. So that's definitely going to be something that if this week goes poorly for the Saints, it's probably going to start there.
Yeah, and watching that game again, man, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, they spent more time in the backfield than what Deshaun Watson did. I mean, every play, he could have literally handed it off to him. It's unreal. But, again, man, they took it to the Browns, and they beat them in the trenches. Marshawn Lattimore, no surprise, didn't practice today. Marshawn's had that hamstring. He was dealing with the hip flexor. But he's had hamstring issues in the past. And I go back to his college days at Ohio State. I think it was one reason why he maybe lasted a little bit longer. There were some teams that were really concerned about that when he came out of Ohio State. It wasn't a major issue early on in his career, but anytime a guy has that type injury and it sort of lingers around, I think it always sort of draws up the red flag for me.
Yeah, and hamstrings are kind of notoriously finicky. They linger. It's just a tough injury to deal with. And, you know, you have to wonder with Marshawn, obviously he was dealing with that hip flexor issue. You know, when you see, and I know this was an issue with Kendre Miller too, like Kendre spent all offseason trying to, you know, rehab that ankle, and he's had a knee injury, and then suddenly you're overcompensating for one thing and you tweak something else. And wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's the case with Marshawn. He's kind of overcompensating for that hip, and then the hamstring goes. And now it's frustrating, but it kind of underscores, you know, okay, why did the Saints invest a high second round pick on a corner that they didn't necessarily have a clear path to starting this year? And you know, this is the situation where you're like, okay, you can kind of read between the lines and say, hey, health has been an issue for Marshawn.
Yep.
Each of the last 2 years, you just cannot necessarily count on him to be healthy throughout the entire season. And we'll see. You know, he's still got time. He yep. can get back. But, you know, there's definitely when you miss, you know, I think the number is like he missed 17 games total over his first like 5 years in the league. He's missed 17 games total in his last 2 years in the league. And, you know, it's frustrating. And so we'll have to see. This was a cornerback, a wide receiver matchup that I was really looking forward to seeing in Marshawn and CeeDee Lamb, because that's why you have Marshawn. He's that guy for you that you can say, hey, we don't need to send extra help towards CD because we know that Marshawn can lock him up. Now, I don't know if you feel the same way with Paulson Adebo. That might affect how you scheme against this Cowboys defense. But, you know, I do feel like this team really does like Kool-Aid McKinstry. It's just a question of, are you going to overload him with too much too soon in a very difficult matchup if you have to throw him out there on the outside? And I know that they don't want to have to ship Delonte Taylor back outside, inside in these matchups. They want him to be able to focus on the slot. So we'll see. But, yeah, it's definitely frustrating to, you know, get through that one game, feel like everything went well in that game, and now in a matchup that feels like, hey, this is a – you know, the Saints are 6.5-point underdogs in this game, and you're going into it possibly without a key player on offense, a key player on defense. So it's definitely not how you'd want to be approaching this game.
Jeff, last question. In watching the Cowboys, they had difficulties in having a consistent running game. And you understand Ezekiel Elliott at this point in his career. But their offensive line is still really good. And they've drafted well. I mean, really well up front. It's going to be about pressure breaking the pipe in this game. You're going to have to get after Dak Prescott. Because the running game for me with the Cowboys, I don't think that's going to be a major element for them. Now, they use the short pass a little bit like an extended handoff, but it's about getting pressure on Dak Prescott and having him throw up a few lollipops.
Yeah, you know, the Saints they've played Dak a few times at this point, and they've typically played him pretty well. I go back to that 2019 game with Teddy Bridgewater. I think they won 12-10. You know, even a couple of years ago, they started with Taysom Hill. It was 27-17. It was a game the whole way. You know, and one thing that Dak, you know, as good as Dak is, he does have a tendency to put the ball in harm's way. He'll throw some really just mind-boggling interceptions at times. And so I think that is it. You know, I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's going to strike fear into anyone's heart. But, you know, if you can't, you know, get pressure right in the backfield and get him behind the line of scrimmage and they're constantly in positive game scripts, then that's going to be tough for you. So, no, I do think that for the Saints in this game, you're going to, you know, the way you win this game is by stopping the run, putting the Cowboys in obvious passing situations, and then allowing your defense to unleash that pass rush that has shown really well so far. Because if you can get in pass rush situations, I think the Saints have a good chance. If you're just getting the ball run down your throat and you're making life really easy on Dak and he's able to extend and find CeeDee down the field, especially if you don't have Marshawn out there, it's going to be a long day. So, no, I think that's the key here is you can't allow Zeke to run. I don't think Zeke is the Zeke that we remember
nope.
from the last time we saw the Cowboys. So that should be an area where the Saints feel like they have an advantage is their run defense against the Cowboys rushing offense. I don't think the Cowboys, you know, I watched that Browns Cowboys game as well. I don't know if the Broncos Cowboys offense looked particularly good in that game. I think that the Browns were just anemic. They could not get anything going. And it kind of looked a lot like the Saints versus the Panthers. Like if one team just can't do anything, eventually that, you know, it's going to go your way. And I know they had a return touchdown in that game. I think if the Saints allow a return or a punt return touchdown, Darren Rizzi's going to blow a gasket because those are the type of plays that you cannot surrender in a game that you're going into as an underdog. Like you need everything to go right to win a game like this. And we'll see. You know, the other thing with the Cowboys, they don't lose at home. They didn't lose a single regular season home game last year. Now they did in the playoffs, so maybe that does change a little bit. But they actually have the longest active home winning streak. I think they've won like 16 consecutive games at home. So that's just another scenario where you're going to have to go into their house and beat them there. And it's going to be a tough ask. But I think if this team can pull it off, we'll be having a very different conversation nationally about what the Saints team can do after people can stop trying to convince themselves that it was all just the Panthers and this team. Isn't actually a lot better than people have been giving them credit for.
The other thing, too, is they are fantastic on special teams. Man, Bones is one of the best special team yep. coaches in the business, just like Darren Rizzi. I think it may come down to that. Who can make the big play on special teams or who gives up the big play on special teams? Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate it, buddy.
For sure, Mike. Talk soon.
All righty. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also our WWL digital content producer. We'll take a break and come back with Jacob Pouche, who is the public information officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here in our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Also doing a little bit of sports talk in the next, I guess, hour and a half that we're on until 7 o'clock. And it'll be Thursday night football as the Miami Dolphins play the Buffalo Bills. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us Jacob Pishu. Jacob, I hope I'm saying your name right. Public information officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B. Jacob, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Give us a little update. Are there any roads closed because of this or some of the overpasses? Because I know that's an issue sometimes when we have these water events. You may have an overpass that is inundated with water.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for having me. You did pronounce my name right. So,
all righty.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So in the metro area, pretty much all receded. You know, the water was seen kind of heavy just in a few areas, really. You know, the General de Gaulle right about at 90. And actually, DOTD, our MAP units, just finished clearing a couple of vehicles that were left there over the evening. Really, the only place that people need to be aware of is the I-10, I-55, and US 51 interchange. Really, just the low road, old US 51.
Right.
There's still some water there. It's coming out, it's receding, but there is still some water. And the same goes for the exit there at Rudock if you're on 55 north or southbound. The water is still there. Again, it's coming down, but it's still there, and just be mindful of that.
Jacob, when you think about all the water events that happened yesterday, we are really lucky because out of the last 11 days, we've had rain. Eight of those 11, I know living on the bayou, we got like 12 and a half to 13 inches of rain. That ground is saturated, and so the runoff becomes difficult. We really, in that particular part, we're lucky that there isn't more closures than what they have right now.
I agree. And everybody's still familiar with Ida and how the water, especially in that area I just spoke about, it was there for days. And so I'm not a meteorologist or a DOTD, right? But I don't foresee it being there that long, especially since it's coming down. And DOTD has pulled up most of their signage in the main areas. But you're right. I'm glad that we didn't see that or more trees coming down. You know, we only had a couple really kind of block the shoulder of I-55 north and one on I-10 east. And they were just on the shoulder at one point. And they were moved before anybody even came out through the hurricane.
Jacob, I told this to Archie Chasson, who's the president of Lafourche Parish. This is more of a branch storm than a tree. Okay, I saw a lot of branches driving here from Lafourche to the city, but there wasn't all these trees. I saw a few telephone poles that were sort of bent a little bit, but none of them down. And, man, knock on wood, because when it caught you, it really hit you pretty good. And with that saturated ground, what that could do to trees and also telephone poles in the area.
Right. And as this progresses over the next few days, especially in that those areas that are really affected in Lafourche and Terrebonne, if people are around trees, just be mindful. Listen if you hear things sounding like they're creaking or shouldn't be the way they are, because we don't want anybody else to get hurt. If you don't have anywhere to be, I know you may have the itch to get out, but just stay home and let these crews get in and assess the situation. I know I was listening to the show a little earlier. It sounds like most of those assessments are wrapping up, so that's good. That's progress. But really what we want to make sure is everybody's safe. You keep talking about the saturated ground, and we don't want additional issues or injuries or worse by people just getting out and about. And if there is something else that takes place and falls, please let us know as soon as possible. If it's an immediate emergency, obviously call 911. But you can all, especially with road hazards, you can call a *577, and that'll get you to your closest troop. And then we'll send somebody out.
Jacob, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. You guys are doing a great job. And, you know, in the highway department and keeping everything rolling because, you know, one thing down here in Louisiana, man, you know, they want to get on the road. I got to go to work or I got to go to the store or whatever. And you just heed what's being asked of you at this time. But to keep everything open, to think about what could have been, we were very fortunate. And a lot of that has to do with the fact people now understand they've been through the routine of this, and we're going to get a lot worse storms somewhere down the road. But we were fortunate in this event. I know for people who had flooded homes, that's a really difficult situation. But we're going to have events that's going to be much worse than what we saw yesterday.
Yes, I agree. But again, we just want everybody to be safe, and hopefully that's way down the line in the future if there's any more storms. But heed those warnings, and we're lucky because most people actually did stay home.
Yep.
They rode out the storm at home if they didn't evacuate, and we thank everybody for that. The residents of Louisiana actually did their part, and thank you, because we really didn't have too many calls for service during the actual hurricane passing, and so thank you.
Jacob, thanks so much for joining us here. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All righty. Jacob Pichu, Public Information Officer for Louisiana State Police Troop B, will be back with more of our extended coverage of the aftermath of Francine and a little bit of sports talk, too, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Also, a little bit of sports talk kind of wrapped up into it. Want to thank Archie Chasson, president of Lafourche Parish, for joining us, along with Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, and Jacob Pichu, who is the public information officer for Louisiana State Police Troop B. In our 6 o'clock hour, we'll have on with us John Raham, Director of Homeland Security for St. Bernard Parish, Tim Acosta, the Director of Marketing for Rouse's Markets. Also from the sports side at 6:30, Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Most of those games have been sort of pushed to Saturday now. We'll have Alan give us a lot more information on that because of the storm. Very few Friday games. Everything sort of has been pushed into Saturday. So we'll get Alan's take on that when we have him on. You know, when we talked to Jacob, I think he brought up that point about we hope nothing happens, you know, bad, you know, the rest of the year.
Yeah, you kind of jinxed us when you say, "Oh, we're going to go through so much worse." I'm like, why would you jinx us?
No,
like
because
that?
No. I've lived long enough. I know we're going to catch one that's going to be worse than this. Think about, you know, throughout that time frame, just from 2020 with Zeta, and then you're talking about Ida, and now Francine. Okay, we in that pattern. I think that we're going to get these storms more and more. It's just a part of where we live, part of how everything kind of world is kind of structured. Scoot and I talked about this yesterday. Man, growing up, I never heard of a tornado in Louisiana.
Right.
If it was, man, that was an anomaly.
For the last decade or so, there's been a lot in West Wego.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of tornadoes almost in West Wego.
In a very close proximity of one another. And I see it on the bayou in the River Parish. If they get bad weather, it's mostly in the northern part of Lafourche or into St. Charles. They get a ton of that, and it's just that pattern of where these cells or where things sort of set up at. And I do think because of things that happen bad, like we see with the hurricanes or a tropical storm or even tornado, I think we become a little better prepared for it the next time. You can't prepare for the tornado because you don't know when that happens. The hurricane, we see the better preparedness from when I grew up as a kid. We went through the 70s. Yeah, they had it in Mississippi, but we had very few in the state of Louisiana.
And Mike, what you were saying, like we said, we're going to catch a bad one. There's different types of bad, too, because different hurricanes causes different types of damage. I remember there was one hurricane, I forget which one it was. It wasn't necessarily the storm that was bad. It was just the aftermath and the power lines being down. It was more of going without power for like 2 or 3 weeks. The storm itself caused the power outage, but it was more of the aftermath that was more devastating than the storm itself. And then some storms, it is like flooding. Other storms, it is wind damage. So each storm has its own little thing. When it is bad, it's not necessarily like
one writes his own book,
yeah,
so to speak. Some of the worst flooding I know in the Lafourche Terrebonne area was from a tropical storm. It wasn't a hurricane.
Yeah.
It was from a tropical storm that stayed in the Gulf forever and just kept swirling and throwing all that rain out there. And listen, it does happen. And you write about you can catch the wind event, which we caught with Ida. That was a wind. That wasn't – in some parts they got more of rain because it stayed there.
Yeah.
But that was a big win event for Ida. We'll be back with more of our extended coverage of the aftermath of Francine and also some sports talk mixed in right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here in our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Also doing a little bit of sports talk in the next, I guess, hour and a half that we're on until 7 o'clock. And then it'll be Thursday night football as the Miami Dolphins play the Buffalo Bills. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, we have on with us Jacob Pishu. Jacob, I hope I'm saying your name right. Public information officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B. Jacob, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Give us a little update. Are there any roads closed because of this or some of the overpasses? Because I know that's an issue sometimes when we have these water events. You may have an overpass that is inundated with water.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for having me. You did pronounce my name right. So,
all righty.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So in all, the metro area, pretty much all receded. You know, the water was seen kind of heavy just in a few areas, really. You know, the General de Gaulle right about at 90. And actually, DOTD, our MAP units, just finished clearing a couple of vehicles that were left there over the evening. Really, the only place that people need to be aware of is the I-10, I-55, and U.S. 51 interchange, really just the low road, old U.S. 51.
Right.
There's still some water there. It's coming out, it's receding, but there is still some water. And the same goes for the exit there at Rudock, if you're on 55 north or southbound. The water is still there. Again, it's coming down, but it's still there, and just be mindful of that.
Jacob, when you think about all the water events that happened yesterday, we are really lucky because out of the last 11 days, we've had rain, 8 of those 11. I know living on the bayou, we got like 12 and a half to 13 inches of rain. That ground is saturated, and so the runoff becomes difficult. We really, in that particular part, we're lucky that there isn't more closures than what they have right now.
I agree, and everybody's still familiar with Ida and how the water, especially in that area I just spoke about, it was there for days. And so I'm not a meteorologist or a DOTD, right, but I don't foresee it being there that long, especially since it's coming down, and DOTD has pulled up most of their signage in the main areas. But you're right. I'm glad that we didn't see that or more trees coming down. You know, we only had a couple really kind of block the shoulder of I-55 north and one on I-10 east, and they were just on the shoulder at one point, and they were moved before anybody even came out through the hurricane.
Jacob, I told this to Archie Chasson, who's the president of Lafourche Parish. This is more of a branch storm than a tree. Okay, I saw a lot of branches driving here from Lafourche to the city, but there wasn't all these trees. I saw a few telephone poles that were sort of bent a little bit, but none of them down. And, man, knock on wood, because when it caught you, it really hit you pretty good. And with that saturated ground, what that could do to trees and also telephone poles in the area.
Right. And as this progresses over the next few days, especially in that those areas that are really affected in Lafourche and Terrebonne, if people are around trees, just be mindful. Listen if you hear things sounding like they're creaking or shouldn't be the way they are, because we don't want anybody else to get hurt. If you don't have anywhere to be, I know you may have the itch to get out, but just stay home and let these crews get in and assess the situation. I know I was listening to the show a little earlier. It sounds like most of those assessments are wrapping up, so that's good. That's progress. But really what we want to make sure is everybody's safe. You keep talking about the saturated ground, and we don't want additional issues or injuries or worse by people just getting out and about. And if there is something else that takes place and falls, please let us know as soon as possible. If it's an immediate emergency, obviously call 911. But you can all, especially with road hazards, you can call a *577, and that'll get you to your closest troop. And then we'll send somebody out.
Jacob, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. You guys are doing a great job, and you know, in the highway department and keeping everything rolling. Because, you know, one thing down here in Louisiana, man, you know, they want to get on the road. I got to go to work, or I got to go to the store, or whatever. And you just heed what's being asked of you at this time. But to keep everything open, to think about what could have been, we were very fortunate. And a lot of that has to do with the fact people now understand. They've been through the routine of this. And we're going to get a lot worse storms somewhere down the road. But we were fortunate in this event. I know for people who had flooded homes, that's a really difficult situation. But we're going to have events that's going to be much worse than what we saw yesterday.
Yes, I agree. But again, we just want everybody to be safe. And hopefully that's way down the line in the future if there's any more storms. But he, like we have said, heed those warnings, and we're lucky because most people actually did stay home.
Yep.
They rode out the storm at home if they didn't evacuate, and we thank everybody for that. The residents of Louisiana actually did their part, and thank you, because we really didn't have too many calls for service during the actual hurricane passing, and so thank you.
Jacob, thanks so much for joining us here. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All righty. Jacob Pishu, Public Information Officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B. We'll be back with more of our extended coverage of the aftermath of Francine and a little bit of sports talk, too, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Also, a little bit of sports talk kind of wrapped up into it. Want to thank Archie Chasson, president of Lafourche Parish, for joining us, along with Jeff Nowak, our Saint sideline reporter, and Jacob Pishu, who is the public information officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B. In our 6 o'clock hour, we'll have on with us John Raham, Director of Homeland Security for St. Bernard Parish, Tim Acosta, the Director of Marketing for Rouse's Markets. Also from the sports side at 6:30, Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Most of those games have been sort of pushed to Saturday now. We'll have Alan give us a lot more information on that because of the storm. Very few Friday games. Everything sort of has been pushed into Saturday, so we'll get Alan's take on that when we have him on. You know, when we talked to Jacob, I think he brought up that point about we hope nothing happens, you know, bad, you know, the rest of the year.
Yeah, you kind of jinxed us when you say, well, we're going to go through so much worse. I'm like, why would you jinx us?
No,
like
because,
that?
No, I've lived long enough. I know we're going to catch one that's going to be worse than this. Think about, you know, throughout that time frame, just from 2020 with Zeta, and then you're talking about Ida, and now Francine. Okay, we in that pattern, I think, that we're going to get these storms more and more. It's just a part of where we live, part of how everything kind of world is kind of structured. Scoot and I talked about this yesterday. Man, growing up, I never heard of a tornado in Louisiana.
Right.
If it was, man, that was an anomaly.
For the last decade or so, there have been a lot in West Wego.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of tornadoes almost in West Wego.
In a very close proximity of one another. And I see it on the bayou in the River Parish. If they get bad weather, it's mostly in the northern part of Lafourche or into St. Charles. They get a ton of that, and it's just that pattern of where these cells are, where things sort of set up at. And I do think because of things that happen bad, like we see with the hurricanes or a tropical storm, or even tornado, I think we become a little better prepared for it the next time. You can't prepare for the tornado because you don't know when that happens. The hurricane, we see the better preparedness from when I grew up as a kid. We went through the 70s. Yeah, they had it in Mississippi, but we had very few in the state of Louisiana.
And Mike, what you were saying, like we said, we're going to catch a bad one. There's different types of bad, too, because different hurricanes causes different types of damage. I remember there was one hurricane, I forget which one it was. It wasn't necessarily the storm that was bad. It was just the aftermath and it was the power lines being down. It was more of going without power for like 2 or 3 weeks. The storm itself caused the power outage, but it was more of the aftermath that was more devastating than the storm itself. And then some storms, it is like flooding. Other storms, it is wind damage. So each storm has its own little thing. When it is bad, it's not necessarily like
one thing. Noel writes his own book,
yeah,
so to speak. Some of the worst flooding I know in the Lafourche Terrebonne area was from a tropical storm. It wasn't a hurricane.
Yeah.
It was from a tropical storm that stayed in the Gulf forever and just kept swirling and throwing all that rain out there. And listen, it does happen. And you write about you can catch the wind event, which we caught with Ida. That was a wind. That wasn't – in some parts they got more of rain because it stayed there.
Yeah.
But that was a big win event for Ida. We'll be back with more of our extended coverage of the aftermath of Francine and also some sports talk mixed in right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.